welcome to episode 130 of Rain Delay Radio, a baseball podcast. I'm Naim. Today we are just going through the news. There's a lot of it. All-star selections came out. Actually, we're going to hold all-star stuff to the end, and maybe I'll put a timestamp in for it. So let's do the news first and then do all of the all-star stuff. Joining me on this episode once again is Pat. Pat, how's it going?
What's up, everyone? Happy 4th of July weekend. Doing pretty good. I just got home from the shore. Me, the girlfriend, and the kid went down for the weekend, and we had a really, really nice weekend at the beach. So it's good to be there.
That's awesome. Yeah. Last week you and I recorded very late, and we're recording a little bit late this week, but not super late. Not 1 a.m. late. Exactly. Yeah. But it was one of those things, and we talked about it before recording, that we were like, we were worried that this week we weren't going to get the episode out because people were going to be busy with 4th of July stuff. And that is what happened. People were busy with 4th of July stuff, except you and I still were able to make time. So I'm glad we were able to get an episode out, because there is quite a bit today
to talk about.
So let's start with really the biggest news, which is Domingo Germán threw the first perfect game since 2012 for the New York Yankees. Yeah, it's
it's like, imagine someone could throw a perfect game in the majors, but it's literally the worst person you know.
I hate it. It's the onion meme, right? It's the worst person you knew. No, just threw a perfect game.
it's
one of those things of like, you know, it's the worst way for there to be a perfect game in 2023. It's Domingo Germán for the Yankees. Again, we talked a little bit last week how like you're less of a Yankees fan, but obviously I'm sure you still have love for the Yankees.
I love Alex Rodriguez. That's really where my Yankees fandom came from, was A-Rod.
Which is very funny because most Yankees fans do not like Alex Rodriguez.
No.
You know, it's for the Yankees against the Oakland Athletics, and it's Domingo Germán, who has a suspension for domestic violence, a suspension for sticky stuff use, like just the, of all people, the worst guy, like maybe the worst guy in MLB public, like as far as we publicly know, one of the worst. It's awful. It sucks. You know, good for the Yankees, you know, and like for the, and look, you know, our biggest Yankees fan friend in the chat was like also conflicted about it, right?
Yeah.
Like we've talked before about our Slack chat that Pat and I, as well as Dylan and some other people are in. And like even he was conflicted. He was like, I'm excited for the history, I'm excited for the Yankees, but I hate Domingo. You know, we all hate, everyone hates Domingo.
One's excited about it. It's just like, this is like the worst pot, like. And like you mentioned, the domestic violence and the sticky stuff. Does this qualify as a cycle? Has he gone for the cycle here? He got the DV suspension, the sticky stuff suspension, now got the perfect game.
It's the pitching triple crown.
It's the triple crown. It's funny. We have a league, Dylan and I, called Sporch. And one of the... So it's basically you draft the worst players and you get points.
It's a reverse fantasy league.
It's reverse fantasy league. Everyone wants
all the worst players. Yeah.
Well,
I'm not in the sports league, but I'm in the...
You got to get in it next year. It's great.
I'll draft regular. My team will be bad enough.
If someone throws a no-hitter, it's negative 200 points. If someone throws a perfect game, it's negative 300 points.
Did somebody have Domingo Germán?
Someone had Domingo Germán.
Oh, no!
But he benched him.
Oh, that's... Wow. What
we
fortune.
We just missed out on a negative 340-point game.
Wait, who had Domingo Germán?
Our good friend Clifford.
Oh, okay. Well, Clifford's been on the show, so...
Yeah.
There we go. Clifford, was it on an Orioles episode, or was it the AL East episode?
AL East episode.
AL East episode, if you want to go back and listen to the AL East episode and hear Clifford. But, yes, Clifford has... That's very... Oh. That's very funny. You're good for Clifford, but it would have been extra funny if he had not benched him, you know?
Dude, we were begging Dylan to retroactively put Germán in this lineup just so we could see how negative he went for that week.
That's very funny. Oh, man, that's great. Yeah. So anyway, congratulations to the New York Yankees and to Domingo. Apparently Kyle Higashioka, who caught the game, was like, couldn't happen to a better guy. And everyone's like, hey man, read the room, you know, like,
I get it.
This is your friend and your teammate and blah, 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 blah. But like, it definitely could have happened to a better guy. There's four other pitchers on the Yankees who are better guys, you know?
Like,
oh man. Yeah. You know, like, what can you really say? You know, it's also like, again, against the A's, who are a team that like A's fans have not had much to root for. Their team's about to get moved, like,
and then they have to watch this.
It's a real cornucopia of like, it's just a, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Speaking of domestic abusers,
we go from one to another.
Aroldis Chapman was traded to the Texas Rangers from the Kansas City Royals. I forgot that the Royals had him, and they don't anymore. So, you know, he's been having a good season. You know, the last few years, Aroldis Chapman had not been very good. He'd had ups and downs, you know, naturally. And, you know, you get older and everybody else starts throwing 104 miles an hour and suddenly your gimmick starts to fade away. But he had a 2.45 ERA for the Royals in 30 innings up to this point in the season. Quite heavy usage, kind of where he had been in the past. You know, last year was a little bit lower and also was his worst season. So kind of returned to form. Makes sense for the Rangers, who are a team who is shockingly good. I mean, I guess they're not shockingly good, right? They were supposed to be good last year. They just
like they have a pretty deep lineup.
It's one of those things where like they were really bad last year and didn't change anything that much. Yeah. And was just like, except for signing a guy who got injured right away. And you know, just turn it around immediately. And it's like, all right, I guess they just needed a year to click. But yeah, the Rangers, who are a good team, they get a good reliever.
I mean, they have the second most All-Stars this year. So
yeah,
there's that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A little tease for what we're about to come up on. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of these players are like good players, you know, like I get it. Like it is a lot of like, why were they so bad last year? It didn't make sense. And maybe, you know, maybe a big part of it was that like Seager and Semien were kind of adjusting. Although Semien also wasn't bad last year.
No, like, he wasn't.
We just didn't talk about him because he wasn't like as good as he was the year before, but like Semien had a good year last year, you know? Yeah. It just wasn't like MVP 3, but also like it kind of was MVP. It's like MVP 5, you know, like he should have gotten MVP. He got no MVP votes. And like you look at the stats, and he's like, maybe he should have gotten a couple of MVP votes. But, you know.
Yeah, it was there. Yeah. Oh, well.
But, you know, Corey Seager is having like, he's having the one season that he's going to have in a Rangers uniform that's like elite. And then from here on, it's going to be like.
There was a tweet I saw. It was like, if Jesus was a baseball player, he'd be Corey Seager right now or something like that. It's just like hysterical what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. It'll fall apart. It's good to see, you know. It's like Corey Seager played a full season last year. It just wasn't great. Yeah. It just was like, but it was fine. It was okay. It just wasn't great. It was like, you know, it was good. We'll talk about Seager and Semien in a little bit when we talk about All-Stars. But Rangers trade for Chapman. Any other thoughts on it?
No. I mean, I guess good for the Rangers to shoring up the bullpen. Yeah. Chapman made his debut today, and the first hit he gave up was to his old nemesis, Jose Altuve. So that's fun.
Yep. And you know. Chapman's on a cheap deal. He's a little older. Like, you know,
very cheap. Yeah.
He's 35 and he had a bad season last year. So he's on like a 3.75 contract. But you know, he's probably bound to get a nice, like 2 or 3 year, like sort of final multi-year deal after the season, assuming that he doesn't completely blow the second half of the season, which.
Or just walk away from him in the second half too. You know?
Yeah.
He's done that. So
yeah.
A little chappy.
Here's some fun stuff you put in here.
Yes. Oh, can we talk it? Andrew McCutchen time?
You go ahead. You go ahead and
So Foolish Baseball put this out. So AnthroCon, which is the big furry convention that comes to Pittsburgh, since 2014, when Andrew McCutchen has played with Pittsburgh in the 15 games. Well, let's start with this. Andrew McCutchen had a famous tweet where he just tweeted out furries. And he tweeted it again this week.
Well, he tweeted it multiple times. I think it's like it was like 4 or 5 years in, like, total.
Yeah, it's when AnthroCon comes to town. He just tweets furries, and then he goes on a tear. So I don't have the updated stats from what he did this weekend. Well, it has two games in it, so I don't have the rest of what he did this weekend. But Foolish Baseball tweeted out what his stats are, and including two of the games that he played this weekend, which was Thursday and Friday. His stats during AnthroCon, he's hitting .436 with a .500 on base percentage and a .789 slugging percentage with 4 home runs across 82 plate appearances.
By the way, I think Foolish Baseball did a whole like video about it in January.
Yes.
And so just like reminded everybody because this weekend was AnthroCon. But yeah, you can go watch the Foolish Baseball
it's
video
a great
about
video.
It.
On, it's hysterical.
On his YouTube page. But yeah, it's his updated career stats during AnthroCon as of 6 hours. I think they played today. Yeah.
Yeah.
19 games, 4 home runs, .392 average, .451 OBP, .709 slugging percentage. Yeah, I mean,
the dude loves AnthroCon.
it's so great.
And not to mention, he was on second base when Carlos Santana hit the walk-off home run. And then we got to see, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but Santana did like the coolest dance coming in the home plate.
Yeah, but by the way, somebody asked him about it on like.
There's a podcast where he talks about it. And it's
he name checked Foolish Baseball. He was like, he watched the whole video. He was like, that's wild, which is so funny to me. Have you ever been to a furry convention?
Yes, I have. I went to one in Philly. It was cool.
Yeah, I've never been to a furry convention, but a couple of years back, a friend of mine was like randomly in town, and another friend of mine like drove down from Detroit to hang out. Like, oh yeah, the three of us will hang out. Cool, we'll have dinner. Blah blah blah. And he's like, okay, cool. I'm at the Donnelly Stevens Convention Center.
Yeah.
I think he didn't even say it was at a convention. It was at the hotel, right? And I was like, okay. And like a couple days earlier, I had been in that area and seen some furries walking around. And I was like, oh, maybe there's a furry convention in town. I was like, I wonder if Frank's in town for the furry convention. And then I go to the hotel, and like it is furries everywhere.
Oh yeah,
like just every single person there's a furry. And Frank comes down. I'm like, Frank, are you here for the furry con? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you a furry? He's like, no, I just got friends who are furries. I'm like, oh. Okay, cool. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he was lying or not. I don't care. Like, but that's you're right. People, I think furries get a bad rap because it is like,
there is definitely some,
you know, like people are wary of it because they don't understand it. But like, furries are,
they are people,
the nicest people on the planet.
They are
like
my buddy went and like he was like, do you want to come? I'm like, sure. And I went for scientific reasons because I was curious.
Yeah.
And it was actually a great experience. Like, there's some really nice people there, really cool people.
I was friends with all the anime kids in high school, and there's obviously like a quite an overlap between anime kids and furries. A couple of my anime kid friends like really got into furry subculture stuff, and I had to like unfollow them on Twitter because and like Tumblr and stuff because they would like post furry erotica.
Yeah.
And like they understood. They were not offended by me not wanting to see furry erotica. They were like, oh cool, I get it. I totally understand that.
I can only see Gardevoir or Lucario getting railed so many times before I'm ready to log off. Yeah.
But like, you know, like, hey, that's their thing they do in their personal time.
Yeah.
But like, otherwise, nice people. They're all, you know, not all, obviously. Every subculture's got bad folks. But like, generally, furries, nice folks. Like, you know.
Yeah, I wrote smut and made money off of it for people. So, you know, I get it. Whatever you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Attendance is up 7.8%. I didn't see this article you posted this. But How much of the, I mean,
John Heyman tweet.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this has to be pitch clock related, right?
I think it's a mix of pitch clock and just like how much of a success the WBC was as well. I think that WBC has a lot in common with that as well.
Yeah, that's but definitely true. The that's new true. Rules. Yeah. And we've talked a few times since the WBC about how big this WBC was compared to previous years. You know, and I think a big part of that is Ohtani. I think Ohtani was a huge part of that because I didn't realize because I don't you know like I don't talk to like I don't talk to non-baseball people about baseball that often like I talk to you guys, you know. Yeah. And so like so we're in this sort of insulated bubble where like yeah of course like you know we're gonna watch you know 100 games a year, if not 162, if not more than 162, because we're gonna watch you know other right. teams play besides our own team. But you know, like talking to like, you know, I mentioned this a few weeks ago when I went to Fenway with my cousin that like, he was like, I took him to one game and he was like, I might go to more games because of how much better an experience it was for him with the pitch clock. And then also he was like, I wonder if the Angels, like what team does Ohtani play for? Because yeah. if the Angels, like if that team's coming to town, then maybe I'll see them. And the Angels are already gone through Boston at that point. So, you know, it's exactly an Ohtani game for him. But like, he you know, I guess I didn't realize how pervasive Ohtani was outside of, you know, baseball and
he's huge. People. Like I've had people ask me about Ohtani that yeah. don't watch baseball. But they're like, is this guy legit? It's like this guy actually, I think I've had this conversation with my boss about like Ohtani. He's like, how would, cause he's like, man, I've heard of Ohtani. How would you describe him to a yeah. non-sports person? I'm like, all right. So imagine you had Tom Brady at quarterback, but you also had, let's say, you know, Ray Lewis on defense,
right.
or, you know, James Harrison on defense. You've got like the best quarterback ever on offense. And then you've got yeah. someone like Reggie White, who's the greatest, one of the greatest defensive ends ever
right.
on defense. Right, right.
Yeah. Imagine if Steph Curry and like Dennis Rodman were the same person.
Yeah.
you know, or, like, yeah.
Or Wayne Gretzky and Martin Brodeur. Same sure. person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, he's literally does it all. And he does it all at an elite level that, like, we've never, like, I'm convinced he's the greatest baseball player I'm ever going to see in my lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. No, and I think
there's a case on the pod. He's the greatest baseball player ever.
I think this was, I don't remember if it was you and Dylan or Dylan and Kevin or somebody on the podcast were saying like when like we're old and decrepit and have grandkids, you and Dylan, that like you're going to tell like there's going to be some two-way player hitting 100 home runs and getting like 300 strikeouts and going to be like, yeah, but he's no Shohei Ohtani.
He's no Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Shohei is without a doubt the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. And I think like when all is said and done, there's going to be a case he was the greatest ever.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure. And I can't wait for Lars Nootbaar to bring him to the Cardinals, you know?
but yeah, I think Philly, dang it.
Yeah, okay. Sure. No, but anyways, the MLB attendance viewership, like so both numbers are up, right? The viewership numbers and the attendance numbers are up. And I mean, I think that a big Ohtani, I agree. Ohtani and the WBC, I think are a part of that, but I think the biggest part of it is like 2.5 hours compared to 3.5 hours is a big difference. You know, I'm much more likely to want to watch the first Avengers movie than watch Avengers Endgame. It's a half hour difference between them, right?
Yep.
But if one feels so much shorter, you know, once you get to that three number of hours, like it just feels like a slog. And scoring is up to stolen bases are up to, you know, some of those little exciting moments are up, but I think just like, yeah.
Another thing, you know, like we have teams that haven't contended in a while are now contending, like the Reds, like the Rangers, like that's the true. Marlins.
Yeah, this is kind of a weird season in that way of like some of the teams you'd expect to contend, like the Cardinals, are not currently contending. Some of the teams who you wouldn't necessarily expect to contend, like the Marlins or the Orioles, and the Orioles have been on the come up. The Orioles are a team like that probably will be good for another couple of years, whereas like a team like the Marlins, this is probably like their year, you know, or the Diamondbacks, you know, who are like just They're gonna be
a menace in the West for the next 5 to 6 years.
That's true. Yeah, the Diamondbacks do have a nice young core, and they are gonna be, but they like came a year early, it seems. And the Reds too. I mean, like you said, the Reds also have they've got a lot of like young players who are going, and I think like 2 weeks ago you and Dylan talked about this, who are like, or maybe it was you and me, actually I edit the show, so sometimes I hear the conversations and I feel like I was a part of them, and sometimes I feel like maybe I wasn't, but whoever you talked about it with, it was definitely you talking about how like this team, the Cincinnati Reds team, is like a lot of young guys who are going to be around for a while.
Andrew Abbott again dominated today, like, dude, that dude is legit. Very legit.
Yeah, and so that's one thing too. I mean, that's a good point, right? Like, the Cardinals can be bad, and St. Louis is still going to watch Cardinals games, right?
Yeah.
But when the Marlins are suddenly good, that's what gets people to go watch the Marlins games, right? So yeah. I think that is a bigger difference. And Cincinnati is also a big baseball town, but I think, you know, like, not to say Cincinnati is a worse baseball town than St. Louis in any way. I don't think that. But I think St. Louis regularly does better in attendance numbers. So Cincinnati kind of does need to be good to get those attendance numbers. I don't know why that is. I'm not a Cincinnati expert. Maybe we'll have our Cincinnati expert on the show to explain that at some point.
Yeah.
Which it probably should. I was going to say we probably should, but then I remember that sometimes we also get C. Trent Rosecrans on the show, and he's a better guest. Yeah. with apologies to our friend Alex.
No offense, buddy.
I think he'd understand. So I think those are, I agree that teams like the Rangers and the Reds suddenly competing in towns that, you know, that are going to see baseball games and their teams are good, which Miami isn't even necessarily, right? Miami, like, the Marlins could win the, I think, what was the Marlins tennis numbers when they won the World Series? I don't think they were great.
Oh gosh, I don't even know.
They were in 2003, they were 28th in attendance ahead of Tampa Bay and Montreal. And moved.
What were they in 98? Was it 97?
But ESPN only goes back to 2001. So, but again, like, that was a World Series winning Marlins team, and they were 28th in attendance. So that's a little bit of a tougher sell, you know. But yeah, I think Cincinnati, Texas, like teams like that fluctuate. You know, the Angels too, right? Like Anaheim,
they're selling out now too.
But they're selling really well. I mean, and Shohei's a big part of that, and Trout, but also
they're finally
having success with Shohei and Trout. You know, and contending because of the playoff format more than anything. Yep. But hey, you know,
that's good for baseball.
The point of the playoff format is to get more people to watch baseball. And that's what's happening. Like, if you need a 3 wild card format to get Shohei and Mike Trout into the playoffs, then I'm all for the three team playoff format, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It got the Phillies in last year, right?
It did. I will never be against it or the universal DH. I'm all for them.
Speaking of Shohei, the report, according to some executives around the league, his upcoming contract could exceed $550 million.
It's like, what do you even put like the value on that contract on?
It's so wild. I mean, because like you said, right? He is the greatest player in baseball, maybe the greatest player of all time. And he does for you what two players do for you otherwise.
He's a 27th man without needing to be.
Exactly. But with that does come the risk of, if he gets injured, you know, you need to replace him with two people. And, you know, he has been injured in the past. And sometimes you haven't had, right? There was the year that he couldn't pitch, but he could still play DH.
Yeah.
And so, like, you do have some of that flexibility, but there is that, right? Like, hey man, if he, you know, busts his knee, he can't do either, you know? Like, if he gets the year he got Tommy John, okay, like he can still come back and hit earlier, but like if he has an ankle injury, suddenly he can't pitch and he can't hit, and now you have to get two different guys to replace him. So there is that, but he is just so good. And it's like, it's, yeah, it's not hard to imagine him getting, you know.
Remember, remember that Shohei contract we negotiated 2 years ago in The Sim?
Yes.
Boy, does that look like a steal for me right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's what
I'm saying. Dude, it's insane. Like, everyone hated,
from a smut thing, you know?
Everyone hated on me for that. And now it's like, dude, that's like half of what he could get.
I know. I know. You were prescient, you know? And I was holding you to it. And that's the thing, right? Yeah. I was like, it was not a bad deal.
No,
you know?
It wasn't.
Like,
I was all for it.
It wasn't like the team friendliest deal, but like,
it's very, you know, team friendly now.
The dude is the greatest player of all time, you know? Probably. Like, we'll hedge for the next couple of years. Then eventually we'll stop hedging because he'll have proved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody wins Cy Young and MVP in the same year, then we can put that to rest.
Which is seems like
possible this year.
It's very simple this year for him to win Cy Young. Yeah, he's certainly been pit. And, you know, again, like I said in last week's episode, right? It took Aaron Judge literally making the you know, whatever. Blah, blah. I mean, MVP. Like, if he had not, like, because his war, I think he probably would have the same war if he'd hit 60 home runs. Yeah. I think if he had 60 home runs and had 10 war, Ohtani still would have won MVP.
Oh, 100%.
It was literally the fact that he
broke a record, you know, to get it.
I mean, obviously, his rates, like, yeah, he also led the league in OBP and slugging.
He was incredible.
And a lot of other things. He was incredible. He was an incredible, incredible player. But, like, man.
It's wild. It,
man. Oof. And Shohei, by the way, is leading in home runs right now and triples.
Dude, he's like fourth in average, isn't he? And he like leads in RBIs.
Yeah, he's first in slugging, first in OPS. Like he leads the AL in RBIs, but he leads majors in home runs and triples, which he also led the majors in triples in 2021 when his last MVP was. And like he steals bases, he does everything.
He's
like
insane.
The man does everything.
He's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I think the biggest fear that other teams should worry about is if the Angels make the playoffs, because I think if they do, he's staying in Anaheim.
He might hit 60. He might break Judge's record this year.
He could. Dude,
he has 30 home runs through 83 games. It's well within reach.
I thought he was at 31 now.
He might be at 31
I
now.
Think he's
I'm
at
looking
31.
At stats as of yesterday. Did he hit one today?
I believe he did.
So he might be at 31 through 84 games. You're correct.
Yeah.
He's at 31 home runs through 84 games. 62, 63 is well within reach. 70 is within 72 is within reach, to be honest. He could break Bonds' record,
to
be honest.
Could you like
it's a little bit tougher, obviously, but like, you know, if he keeps this pace up, he will be like just shy of the Judge number, which means that, you know, if he picks it up near the end of the season, it's within reach.
It's insane. This guy gets better every year. Like it doesn't make sense to me.
I know. There is that, right? Like that is, yeah, he does. That's the thing. He gets better every year. How is that possible?
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, man. What a monster, man. Yeah, dude. He should take that nickname from, who is it? Sasaki, the monster of the railway era.
Hideki. And be Godzilla.
So Hideki's Godzilla, yeah, but no, Roki Sasaki is nicknamed the monster of the Reiwa era,
yeah,
which is a sick nickname.
Oh,
that's
also
a sick nickname.
Another Shohei stat: he's likely going to surpass Hideki as the leader in most home runs for a Japanese player this year in the majors.
Oh yeah, and Hideki had 9 seasons to do it.
Yeah, he's done it in 6.
Yeah, Matsui was 175. Shohei's at 158 right now.
Unbelievable. Just,
you know,
unreal.
Ichiro could have done it if he wanted to, but he didn't.
No. I do truly believe,
because like people say that all the time, or like I think it's like half joke and half real, but I believe Ichiro when he says that, like, yeah, man, if I just chose to sell out for power, I would have been the best power hitter. It's like, you know what? You're Ichiro Suzuki. I buy it.
Well, he was naturally a right-handed hitter. He just chose to hit left-handed.
What a guy, man. I like how you put this in fun stuff to maybe talk about.
It's fun in a It's just like the NL East is insane. So the, yeah. The Phillies went 19-8. I think it might be 19-9 now, in June. And they made up exactly negative two games on the Braves and negative half a game on the Marlins. Because that's how insane both those teams were in June as well. Just ridiculous, man. NL East is on crack this year.
Yeah, I mean, the AL East is kind of the same way, right? Of like, just like, and then which it has been for a while, where it's just like impossible to make up ground, and like the bottom four teams are so tight there. And like, you know, sometimes you'll make up a little bit, you know, like, but like the Red Sox are a 500 team in fifth place. Like, the AL East as well. Like, the Rays are clearly at the top and are going to stay at the top unless something really falls apart for them. But the next four teams are like,
I think we need to separate. Put the Red Sox, or, you know, whoever in the AL East is not in the wild card standings right now, in the AL Central, and just give them that title.
I mean, yeah.
I wish we could do that.
They would, I believe, right as of now. Oh no, they are now a game ahead of the Twins, who are currently leading the AL Central. The Twins currently lead the AL Central with a 42-43 record.
Oh, God.
That is very funny. The Guardians, by the way, also have a 41-42 record, so they're virtually tied, but officially the Twins have that lead.
The AL Central just puts the mid in Midwest.
That is so funny that I want it to finish that way. You know, like it would just be funny. You know, it would just be hell. And they'd get knocked out by, you know, the Blue Jays or the Astros or whoever in the wild card game.
The World Series, and then everything goes to hell.
I mean, wouldn't that be the funniest thing?
Wouldn't it be hilarious
for a sub 500 team to win the World Series?
It would be hilarious in a, oh my God, what am I witnessing? But like, I can't really complain because the Phillies did that last year. But God, if they won it.
The 2006 Cardinals were 83-78. I think that's the closest we've had.
Yeah.
And then again, they also won the division because it was like, I think the second place was the 81-81 Astros, something like that. Or no, 82-80. All right. With that all out of the way, let's talk about the All-Star teams. The All-Star teams were announced, you know, the All-Star game this year, July 11th. So in just over a week, at T-Mobile Park in Seattle, managers Rob Thompson from Philly, Philly Rob, obviously, Dusty yep. Baker from Houston. We only have a couple of the Home Run Derby participants so far, which is fascinating to me. Has it come this close to the wire before?
Yeah. So the current participants in the Derby are Julio Rodriguez representing the Mariners, obviously.
Yeah. Back from last year.
They need the home representative. Mr. Groundball himself, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Now he put on a show in his first ever Derby. So we'll see if he can do that again this year.
He, in fact, he has the most home runs in a single round and the most single Derby home runs. Obviously, the rules changed a number of years ago, so like all people aren't old guys aren't back there. But like, he also, by the way, is fifth. He only has been in one Derby, and he is fifth in most all-time home runs in a home run Derby, just from the 1 year.
Yeah. Next, we have making his home run Derby debut, Mookie Betts. It was kind of surprising. I figured he would have been in one by now, but
he's not like a big like I mean, obviously he hits homers, right? Like he's an all-around player. He's not like a guy you think of as like a, this is a home run derby. Like he's never had more than 35 home runs in a season, and that was last year.
Yeah, right now he's on pace for his first ever 40 home run season.
Exactly. Yeah, so like I guess it makes sense that he wouldn't have been in one before. So yeah. And I think there were other Dodgers guys who would, like, you know, or Red Sox guys, when he was a Red Sox, who like, this guy make like, so it's like Corey Seager, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like, because it's tough, I think, to send two representatives from one team to the home run derby.
Next, we have my favorite guy to be in this. Like, I'm, unless someone from the Phillies gets in somehow, this is a guy I'm cheering for. This is a guy I'm cheering for to win this. Randy Arozarena.
Oh yeah, Randy Arozarena. Yep.
I want Randy to win this so bad.
Big lights, Randy. I'm a Big Game Randy. Like, yeah, Randy under the lights, Randy dude. Fan. Randy could hit 120 home runs in one round.
Without a doubt.
put the lights on Randy. Oof.
And then we've got the polar bear, Big Meat Pete Alonso.
There we go. Yeah, I was early on that. The Pete Alonso time. Still one of my favorite baseball tweets. Trey Mancini putting on one of the greatest shows for cancer survivors of all time, and then Pete Alonso. It's Pete Alonso time.
So we still have three guys to enter, one AL guy and then two NL guys. I think who I'd like to see for the two NL would be Juan Soto. Obviously, he won last year. I'd like to see him come back this year. And then the homer in me would love to see Nick Castellanos in the Derby. I think that could be fun. And then the AL.
I could see Schwarber. I mean, Castellanos I could see as well, I guess. But like Schwarber feels like.
Yeah, but Schwarber's not an all-star this year, so it's kind of like...
That's happened before, though. Well, they've done that before.
No, it has, but, like, let's give Nick a turn.
I get it, but Schwarber led the league in home runs last year and has 22 this year, and Castellanos doesn't.
Yeah.
And Castellanos, he's got the home run meme, right? But, like, he had 34 in Cincinnati and has never had 30 besides that.
If not Nick... Soto and Tatis, maybe, or Acuna would be cool. Or Jorge Soler. That'd be one I'd like to see. For the AL, man, I don't know who from the AL. Like, I'd like to see Shohei do it again, but also I don't want Shohei to ruin his swing and possibly, you know.
Hey, sometimes it fixes the swing, you know. It fixed Albert Pujols' swing.
And fix Soto too that one year
as well.
Soto
that one year, yeah. I mean, it could, you know.
I could see that. Yeah, I don't think his swing needs fixing though. I think it's fine where it is.
That's also true.
You know what? Let's get Mike Trout in the Derby.
Yeah, he's never done one before.
I don't think Trout has ever done a Derby before. Let's get Trout in his first Derby.
By the way, Matt Olson currently leads the National League in home runs. He would be a fun NL guy as well.
Yeah, Olson would be a cool one.
Also be fun. Luis Robert has 24 in the AL. The White Sox don't have a ton to cheer for, so it'll be cool to have Luis Robert there.
Yeah.
Devers, Adolis Garcia. I mean, Judge obviously would be cool if his toe wasn't broken.
He was healthy, yeah.
Yeah. Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, Yordan would be cool. I don't know if he's still injured or not.
That's a good question. I don't know either. It looks like he hasn't played in a month, so maybe he is still injured.
Yeah, because I'm looking here. He's not on the... Oh, he is on the All-Star roster. We'll get to that in a moment. But yeah, he's an option. But I'd like to see Trout again in this, especially in Seattle. Fun. Where
he gets the booze. he crushes and Seattle is the one town that hates Mike Trout. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. So that's the Home Run Derby. I'm sure next week we'll have the full Home Run Derby roster to talk about it. We'll probably do a Home Run Derby preview. Which we've done in the past as well, of like how we kind of think it'll go and bracket out and whatnot. As far as the all-star rosters, for the big notes here, the NL has the entire Braves roster is the NL roster, basically.
They have their entire starting infield.
So it's Sean Murphy, Orlando Arcia, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley. So Olson, Albies, and Riley are all on the bench, and then starting is Murphy and Arcia, as well as Ronald Acuna Jr. For all six Braves there, and the Braves. I mean, look, the Braves have been incredible. Like the Braves, I get.
There's no denying.
It's not like in like 2015 or whatever when we almost sent eight Royals and Mike Trout to the All-Star game. Yeah. You know,
this is pretty deserving.
This is deserving. Yeah. Also, former Brave Freddie Freeman at first base, and then rounding out the infield for the National League is Luis Arraez at second, and Nolan Arenado at third base, and then we have Corbin Carroll in the outfield along with Mookie Betts. as well as Acuna, as I mentioned, who was the top. Acuna was the top vote getter in the National League, and then JD Martinez is the DH there, and then a bunch of folks on the bench. You know, we can't name them all. But Castellanos, Soto, Soler, guys we mentioned already, and then obviously all those Braves and Pete Alonso. The pitching for the National League is like all newbies. It's Kershaw, who is the 10-time All-Star, who is the there's only two double-digit All-Stars this year at all. It's Kershaw and Trout. Everybody else is in the single digits. And then Josh Hader from the Padres, Marcus Stroman, Devin Williams, both second-time All-Stars, and then the rest of the National League pitching rotation bullpen is all first-time All-Stars. Alexis Diaz from the Reds, Camilo Duvall from the Giants, Bryce Elder from the Braves, Zach Gallen from the Diamondbacks, Josiah Gray from the Nationals, Mitch Keller from the Pirates, Justin Steele from the Cubs, Spencer Strider from the Braves. So two Braves also here. Lots of Braves in this All-Star game. Yeah. It's going to feel a little bit like a Braves game at times.
And it definitely will.
And it'll feel a little bit like a Rangers game at times.
Yeah, looking here at the AL, so the starters real quick. So we've got four Ranger starters. So we have at catcher.
And again, almost the entire infield.
Yeah, almost the entire infield. So at catcher, we got Jonah Heim, first-time All-Star. Love Jonah Heim. Yandy Diaz will play first base, first-time All-Star. Second base, Marcus Semien. Third base, Josh Jung, first-time All-Star. Corey Seager playing short. In the outfield, we got Aaron Judge, who is on the injured list and will be replaced. Mike Trout, Randy Arozarena. I'm so glad Randy got in on the fan vote. Again, love Randy.
I mean, who doesn't love Randy?
So much fun. And then at DH...
except for maybe Mike Schilt.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Randy?
And then at DH and the leading vote getter for the AL, I think overall...
I believe overall,
Shohei Ohtani, no shock there.
No shocker.
Some reserves for the AL. Adley Rutschman, first time.
Love to see Rutschman there as well.
Yep. Austin Hayes, Adolis Garcia, Brent Rooker, fun story there.
There's three Blue Jays guys on the reserves here as well. Vlad Jr., Whit Merrifield, and Bo Bichette. Yep. They didn't get any starters there, but they did. It's interesting too, by the way, there's two Rays starters and that's it. But the Rays also, you know, much like the Braves, have an incredible, you know, like they're doing really well, but I think they're doing it kind of in a different way, right? Yeah. The Braves do have a lot of stars, and then also Orlando Arcia, who maybe
Orlando Arcia getting in, just like, I get it. It's the fan vote, but
you know, like Orlando, he's good. He's fine. You know,
he's all right.
He's not a bad player by any stretch of the imagination.
There's some players who got robbed, which we'll get into in a moment.
Orlando Arcia being an All-Star starter is very funny. The Rays only got two players in, and shockingly both on fan vote for a team that does not have a ton of fans. But I think, you know, something is hard to deny how good Yandy Diaz has been this year, and then obviously Randy was the rookie of the year and had the WBC. He was such an electric force in the WBC. That's a big reason I think people watched as well, and for Mexico, which is a team, which is a country and a fan base that gets very into national sports, as you know from the soccer side of it all. So, you know, Randy being a lightning rod for Mexico, despite being born and raised in Cuba, I think is a big reason that he got voted in.
And then like the funniest, cause I know you need a representative for every team, but the funniest representative here is Michael Lorenzen.
For the Tigers is just like, I mean, an astounding pick. Oh, by the way, Shane McClanahan also the other Ray. I forgot point that out. But yes, Michael Lorenzen being the pick for the Tigers is just hysterical, because he's like, there are players in the Tigers who are like not great. You know, like, the Tigers are not having a great season. But they're in the AL Central, which kind of hides how not great of a season they're having, because they have fewer losses than the White Sox and way more wins than the Royals, who are as bad as the A's, and people are talking about it.
Yeah.
Because the AL Central is just so like forgettable. But yeah, like, you know, last year there was that like kind of weird, kind of like, hey, we just kind of want to do this. Commissioner saying, hey, here's two old guys who aren't going to get voted in, but we want to send them to the All-Star game.
Yeah, that hasn't been Cabrera announced yet.
And Albert Pujols. I don't know if they're doing it again this year or if it was just like a. I think honestly, it was a. We want Albert Pujols to be in one last All-Star game, yeah. And we have to put some. We have to put Mickey in as well. I guess
so. They should do it again. So
I think it's a fun. It's fun, you know, like it's the All-Star game, right? Like it doesn't matter
because
like,
you can get Mickey there for Detroit, and honestly, I think this might be his last season. Get Joey Votto there too.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a fun thing to do last year, and I think it's fun enough to keep doing it. Like I agree that they haven't announced it, and I don't know if it's like officially announced that it won't be happening or what, like, you know, who knows. But it would be cool for them to do like with Miggy and Votto and stuff like that. But yeah, like if you like looking up and down, like Riley Green is injured.
Yeah.
But like it almost feels like announce Green and give him a replacement, you know?
Yeah.
Because other than him, like, there's not really a bright spot on this team. I mean, if you look at their pitching rotation, everybody is either injured or like,
just it's really not, bad.
It's not good, you know? Like, I honestly, pretty. Like, Alex Lang has not been like a great closer, but like, he's got 12 saves, you know? Like, he seems like. All right, throw him a bone, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Michael Lorenzen has been like he has a 99 ERA plus, he has 0.9 baseball reference WAR. So like at least he's a positive. But yeah, it's not a good time in Detroit. But Michael Lorenzen being the pick is just like really sort of like we need a guy, and he exists.
Yeah. That's
yeah, you're mentioning before the show, like you can, you know, again, like it's the same with the Green thing, right? Send Eduardo Rodriguez and be like, he's injured, let's find a replacement, you know. But yeah,
there's definitely some big snubs here. Notably, Wander Franco stands out to me on the AL side.
Yeah, Wander Franco is I think the biggest one, and feels like he will likely be an injury replacement.
Yeah.
But I mean, that goes back to the Rays thing, right? Of like the Rays have been such a good team, and you know, Franco arguably is the face of that team.
Yeah.
You know, Randy obviously is there and McClanahan is there, and you know, there's great, but like Wander Franco is like, he's the guy who, you know, I mean, he's the guy who they gave the big, you know, 15-year whatever contract to, right? Like, so like, you know, he's the face of that team, and it's a great team. And it's not that like he's the face and not playing well, right? Like, he's also playing really well. And then you mentioned Isaac Paredes as well. We'll roll them in together a little bit, but I think Franco more so. Of like, yeah, like if this dude's not an All-Star, who is? And he, by the way, like, hasn't gotten an All-Star selection, and obviously he didn't play all of last season or all of the previous season, but like. If Wander Franco's not an All-Star, who's an All-Star?
Right.
Yeah.
Tatis, not an All-Star.
Yeah.
Which is, again, wild. Joe Ryan didn't make it.
Tatis, I wonder if part of that is like sweeping him under the rug for the season. You
maybe.
Know, just being like, hey, he's back this year, like, and he's doing well enough. And
like, he's going to get MVP votes. Like, he could finish top three in MVP.
Yeah.
He's been good. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Ketel Marte, shocking, especially when you consider that like Dansby Swanson made it.
And again, and again, that's kind of the ripple effects of Orlando Arcia.
Orlando Arcia,
yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt didn't make it, which I'm kind of bummed about.
Good for Orlando Arcia, right? He'll have an All-Star game on his resume for the rest of his life. Good for you.
Yeah, good for him.
But yeah, it is kind of wild. Paul Goldschmidt not making it in after being the MVP and like, you know, He's older. He's taken a bit of a step back. He's not as great as he was last year.
Not a major step back, though. Like, he's still pretty good.
Not a major step back. He's still a great player, having a good season. Like, he's still an all-star caliber player for sure. You know, he won't be the MVP this year, but he'll probably grab a couple of votes. Like, he's definitely an all-star caliber player. It is surprising.
He'll be great for the Phillies when he gets traded here in a few weeks. So Dylan wanted to mention this. He says the Braves getting four infield all-stars and Lindor getting left out is the funniest thing possible.
I get it. Yeah. Again, it's the consequences. Funny. The consequences of Orlando Arcia.
Dude, the Mets have one all-star.
And then, I mean, yeah, the Mets have been bad and Lindor has been average. You know, like, he's not been bad, but he's like, not.
Brandon Nimmo's been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they've had Nimmo's been good and Tommy Pham.
Yeah, sure.
Tommy Pham has an 865 OPS.
Mr. Fantasy Baseball himself.
Yeah. You know, and then the pitching staff, like, you know, you are not bad. You know, you have Kodai Senga. And, like, I mean, it is like one of those, like, Scherzer and Verlander not having great years and not making it on. And that, but like, David Robertson has been a really good closer. The consequences of our actions of Orlando Arcia. I mean, I don't think Lindor is going to make it either way, but, yeah. But guys like, Ketel Marte or Bryson Stott, your guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in a way I'm kind of glad Thompson didn't go full homer and have Stott make the team over other guys that could have been there. Like, I thought he was going to leave a Brave or two out to put Stott on the roster. And, you know, in a way, I'm glad he didn't do that.
I think if Arcia didn't get a start and maybe if, like, Albies did, you know.
Yeah, I feel like Stott would be on the team.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a case for him.
Right. And I mean, but obviously, you know, like, Luis Arias is like, was going to win the second base award of the season he's having. Like, he was going to be the starter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know,
I think Stott, if like there's an injury replacement or someone steps out, I think Stott will get on the team.
Yeah.
And Brandon Marsh also had a little bit of a case there too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, and the Reds, by the way, who are having like a really strong season, have one representative.
Yeah.
And it's a reliever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's Alexis Diaz, and he's been a great reliever. He's also, I mean,
Ellie wasn't going to make the All-Star team.
No, I think Ellie might have been a tougher sell because he just came up, you know.
Although I will say, I would like to see Ellie in the Derby.
That would be cool. But like Matt McClain came up early enough for him to get, you know, something, or Spencer Steer, who's been really, really good. You know,
also Yuri Perez not making the All-Star team too. Like, I wonder how much of his meltdown. I wonder if his meltdown to the Braves had to do with that. But like, I felt like Yuri was going to be an All-Star.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, pitchers are a lot more often to be like, hey, I can't pitch. And, you know, or like, you know, like, a, you know, Sunday start type thing. Right. So like, I think Yuri Perez is probably a lock for like a pitcher replacement guy, you know, of like a Stroman pitched on Sunday or, you know, Kershaw has a phantom injury and like can't pitch, quote unquote. You know, so I feel like any of those things might happen to get Yuri in. It's tougher, I think, with position players when there's not like a clear injury, unless like, you know, again, unless the guy is like has a phantom injury or something like that, to not play the weekend. It is weird. It is.
Yeah.
But like I was saying with the Reds, it's like, it's, you know, they've been a great team. And then the stretch they just had was recent, obviously, but like, I don't know. It does feel weird that like one of these like really young guys who have played most of the season, I mean, you know, even Matt McClain only has played half the season so far. So like, maybe that's a bit tougher, but Spencer Steer was there from like day one and he's crushing the baseball. You know,
I feel like Matt McClain has also played the same amount of games as Orlando Arcia though. So,
let me see.
I think they're very close.
I know, but that's, Arcia, I mean, that's fan vote. You know,
it's fan vote. No, I get
fan
it.
Fan vote's a little bit different. It's a 20 game difference. Orlando Arcia has played 61 games and Matt McClain has played 42 games. But okay. fan vote, you have, I think, a bit of a weird different leeway of if the fans vote him and the fans vote him in, because Orlando Arcia was not getting chosen by the coaches. You know, like Orlando Arcia was not making the All-Star game if it wasn't for the fan vote.
Definitely not.
Sorry, Dylan. We all know it's true. but yeah, like somebody like a Steer or a McClain or like even India, who's like having his average, or even like TJ Friedel or Jake Fraley, who like don't seem like all-stars, but have been having great seasons, right? Like, you know, and then those are guys who are like, you know, TJ Friedel would be like a one-time all-star this year and that's it ever. You know, and Arcia was that guy. Arcia is that guy, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it is weird to me that like only one Red made it and it's their closer. I don't know. The last thing I want to talk about with the All-Star Game stuff is the jerseys.
Yes.
What were the 2022 jerseys like? They were like just white and gray, right?
Yeah. Where was 2022 at last year? It was wasn't Coors. It was
last year was in LA.
LA. Yeah, they had like just white and whatever.
Yeah, white and gray with gold lettering on the front. From it was like it was white and gray, but it was the team's name in gold.
Yeah. So I didn't like those. I was not a fan of those.
I liked those. I thought those were like you got to sort of have your cake and eat it too. The 2021 ones I didn't like. Those were white.
That was Rockies year, right?
That was the Rockies year. Yeah, that was Colorado.
I like those. Those were cool.
I didn't like those. those look like warm-up jerseys to me. Where they were white for the National League, navy for the American League, and then they had the team's like cap insignia on the chest, and then also behind that the three-letter designation for the team.
Yeah.
They just felt weird. They felt like the kind of thing you would get at like Walmart because some company had the rights to make they had the rights to use team names, but they don't have the rights to like they can't sell the actual jerseys, you know?
Right.
That's what it felt like to me that year. I think 2019 was the last time they wore
their uniforms. Yeah.
Yeah. So which I prefer completely. They always had a different hat for years preceding that. I think since like 2012 or 13 they wore a different hat. Like an all-star specific hat.
Right.
And then I think 2019 was the last majestic year. And yes. Starting in 2021 is when Nike took over.
Yeah.
I guess maybe 2020 is when Nike took over, but there was no all-star game because of the COVID. This year's jerseys are the American League jersey is sort of like a Mariners teal. And then the National League jersey is a navy. They say American and National on the front, which I hate. The design, I think, is kind of cool. Like it's Mount Rainier.
It's a wave. It looked more like waves to me.
I think maybe it's waves. Hold on. There was something about Mount Rainier on here that I read. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I misread something. I hate them. I think they look, I mean, they look like BP jerseys in every way. And like, not only that, they're apparently being used, like they're using the Nike Vapor Premier, which is like, they're like dry fit. And like, it just to me looks like it looks like not even just a soccer jersey, but like a soccer training jersey, like not even like something they'd wear on the field. I don't know. I hate them.
I like them. I think they give like that Pacific Northwest vibe.
Yeah,
that no, I want to see.
And I get the vibe of it, and yeah, but I just like I hate that it says National and American across the front. Like, I think this would be cool for the Home Run Derby. I'd be cool with using the Derby.
You got the Mariners compass in the name.
I like
that, which is really
Mariners
cool.
Compass. I like the Mariners compass being on there. I like that conceptually. You know, I just feel like that could be,
and like unlike last year, you're using the Mariners colors. You're not using gold and gray instead of Dodgers blue. You know.
No, yeah, but again, like, is white and gray is what, right? White and gray is just, like, that's what baseball players wear. That's baseball player uniform colors. And then gold because they're all-stars. Like, it's not, they didn't Dodgersify it, and that's fine for me. Like, they chose not to Dodgersify it, and that's, I'm okay with that. I don't remember what the Caps looked like. I think they were just also.
The Caps were pretty cool. Let me find a picture of them real quick. Because I like them.
So this year's Caps so last year's Caps I think were all black,
yes,
with gold, which is fine. This year's Caps appear to be all like a light,
so it's like a light teal, and you've got the All-Star Game logo on the side.
And maybe that's the Mount Rainier. I think that's the Mount Rainier thing I was thinking of. It's the silhouette of Mount Rainier on the side.
Tribute right there.
And the what's interesting is the workout caps are the team colors, and I like those a lot better. Like I wish they would wear the workout caps on the field, and maybe the other caps, I don't know, in workouts. But something about, like, I've always liked the All-Star jerseys being a little different from each other. I don't like the homogeneity of them. You know, like I like the idea that they're representing their team, and obviously they are with the Caps, but the Caps are so homogenous and the jerseys are so homogenous that, like, it just feels, you know, boring. Like last year's, they didn't Dodgersify it, but they just, like, they All-Starified it. It was like, here's white, here's gray, you have gold because you're an All-Star, but otherwise, like, the Mets jersey looks like a Mets jersey, you know? But there was cohesion, whereas this year, just, I don't know. I don't know. It looks like a cheap softball top. Like,
that's fair.
I don't know. And again, like, the over cohesion of having National, and like, there's nothing on the jersey. I think they have a sleeve patch with their team logo on it.
Yeah.
But otherwise they're all kind of overly cohesive, and I'm not a big fan of that on the field for the All-Star game. I think the All-Star game's more fun when they're wearing their own jerseys, you know? And the NBA has done this for a while now too, but they used to do the same thing where they wore their own jerseys on the court. And like, that's fun to me. That's more fun to me than having like a, and also like, there is the cash grabbiness of it, but that's not even what I don't like about it. Like, sure, you're gonna grab cash, fine, but I don't know. I like it when, you know, when Mike Trout is wearing an Angels uniform next to Marcus Semien wearing a Rangers uniform next to, you know, Julio Rodriguez wearing a Mariners uniform.
Yeah,
and they're all on the same team. Yeah,
I'm just scrolling through Fanatics right now, looking at the team specific All-Star Game caps with like their colors. The Diamondbacks one is sick because you got the Diamondbacks teal, and then the red logo with the teal silhouette, and then it's the black hat. And on the sides, you got the teal and the red and the white. Like, that's kind of cool. I kind of want to pick one of these.
They're all so much nicer than the homogenous color ones, right? Like, I like them better.
I'd be okay with them wearing these hats with the jerseys.
Like this Mets one, you know, like you have
the,
like,
Mets one is sick.
Especially with the side panel, like you have the three different, like you have the orange and then lighter orange, then white, which the Orioles one also does. Like, that's cool.
Dude, Pirates that so one much is better. Nice. The Reds one is really nice.
Yeah. Oh, I just saw the Diamondbacks one you were talking about. That is sick.
That's really nice looking.
That's dope.
I'm going to pick one of those up. I don't know.
The Mariners one is nice.
Like, Rays one is really nice too.
Yeah, man. These are so much. Honestly, the Phillies one is nice too. Like, you know, because you get to do the blue on the side, which you don't see a lot of blue in Phillies caps, but blue is a Phillies color. Like, so you get to have that too. I've seen the Pirates one now too. Oh, the Pirates one looks, the side of the Pirates one looks very much like it has a very like 70s Pirates vibe, which is what the Pirates want to be doing.
The A's is really nice. I got to pick up an A's hat before they leave Oakland.
Before they leave Oakland, yeah. I wish it had the yellow brim, but I do agree. Astros one is nice. Yeah, man. Like, it's so much nicer to see like the differentiation between these than having all of these like light teal. Like, it's a cool cap, the light teal one, right? It would just be like, I would just prefer them to wear that and that jersey,
right,
at the home run derby.
Yeah,
in batting practice, like they've always done, you know. And then at the All-Star game, have a different jersey. Have their own, either their own jerseys or an all-starified version of their own jerseys. If you want to sell merch, you want to sell merch. I get it. Right. I get that you want to sell merch. I'm not going to stop you from selling merch. Do an all-starified version of the jerseys they always wear and have the American and National jerseys relegated to batting practice and the home run derby like it always has been.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's all I'm saying. But, you know. Nike's gonna Nike, I guess.
Nike, and it seems like, is this, gonna Nike.
Seems like this material going forward is gonna be what they're gonna wear on the field, and I'm interested to see that if that changes. You know, like, I don't know. I'm curious. I'm curious how that's gonna look. I don't know. Anyway, cool. Well, I think that's it for our thoughts on All-Star stuff. Is there anything I missed? I don't think so.
I think we got it all.
Pat, thank you so much for joining me on this.
As always, thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for this episode of Rain Delay Radio. Rain Delay Radio is executive produced by Lewis. My name is Naim. I edited this week's episode. I also hosted it along with Pat. Our theme music was composed by Chuck Lease. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning at 1 a.m. Eastern time, or maybe a little bit later, depending on when we recorded, because 1 a.m. Eastern time is in 20 minutes now, and I'm not going to release it then. Until then, we'll see you next week. Oh,